Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
All right, the story about abortion in Arizona is flat out unbelievable. Because the state Supreme Court ruling just came out. You might want to sit down. This is nuts. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Okay. Abortion's been back in the news as a conversation. Of course, it's going to be a massive conversation for 2024 because the Democratic Party can't talk about the economy. They can't talk about being stronger in defense. They can't talk about the southern border. The only thing they have is anger and outrage. As just a matter of course, is looking at how they are going to approach this election, it is very clear and very obvious that they have no subject matter that connects with the American electorate. So they are going back to the well of two things. First, look how evil Trump is, which we knew was going to be part of their plan, but they would like to have had something tangible to go along with it. And abortion, abortion, abortion. Trump has given them an opportunity because Trump has said, I don't favor a nationwide abortion ban. This should be a decision of the states. We talked about this being a states' rights issue. It is a states' rights issue. The state should decide. I'm Donald Trump, and I'm a federalist. And of course, the left is, you know, as always, lost their minds.
Time. And you look at the states: Kentucky, Kansas, mm-hmm. Wisconsin. Every time it's been Ohio. Every time it has been remotely a part of an election or a ballot measure, the pro-choice side wins overwhelmingly.
Support for abortion was always there, and it was growing over the past decade. I think since the overturning of Roe, it has crystallized the issue for anybody who was on the fence right. about it or didn't feel they had, you know, any men perhaps who didn't feel as connected with it. Now, we are seeing the consequences of these rights being taken away, 50 years of rights that our daughters and sons as families don't have. And they're brutal. They're very specific. They're a matter of life and death. And Donald Trump is on the wrong side of every position that exists yep. practically on this. In a moment, we're going
to... There's nothing like hearing Mika lecture to us about life and death. And Trump said it should be a states' rights issue. And if the states are making a decision to have legal abortion, I don't see where the issue is. But Mika not being, you know, somebody who's prone to, I don't know, logic, comes up with this. It's being discussed everywhere. Because what people think is that Trump is just full of it and that he's going to say it's a states' rights issue and then he'll get into an office and immediately push for, I don't know, whatever ban on abortion. Trump not being a conservative, I think this is his position. Honestly, I'd be surprised if he goes the other way. Trump being an opportunist, all right, maybe. But remember, Joe Biden would be a guy who would tell you that he's a Catholic and therefore abortion is an issue, but it should be safe, rare, and legal. And then as a matter of his politics, an opportunist, he would sign any legislation that would allow abortion to take place up until the moment of birth without question. So we go back now to the story about Arizona. Arizona. In the days of Doug Ducey, who was the governor before Katie Hobbs, Republican, stated, I signed the 15-week law as governor because I thought it was thoughtful conservative policy and an approach to this very sensitive issue that Arizonans could actually agree on. The ruling today is not the outcome I would have preferred, and I call on our elected leaders to heed the will of the people and address this issue with a policy that is workable and reflective of our electorate. Well, my God, it's a 15-week ban. That's where the vast majority of the country is. What in the world did the Arizona Supreme Court say? Sit down. This is nutty. The Supreme Court of Arizona said, listen, we see what you did there. We see what you signed. The problem is there's already a law on the books. I'm sorry, there's a law on the books? There's a law on the books. When's the law from? 1864. I'm sorry. Come again? Could you say that one more time, please? Yeah, sure. There is a ruling on abortion on the books in the state of of Arizona since 1864.
OMG. Are you kidding me right now?
I am not. In 1864, we're talking about years before Arizona was a state. It made abortion a felony, punishable by 2 to 5 years in prison for anyone who performs one or helps a woman obtain one. It's on the books, and it still is today. It was actually codified as reported in 1901 and then again in 1913. This was after Arizona became a state, the only exception being to save the woman's life. So this was never repealed. And what happened is that an appellate court ruled last year on this. And this is how it gets reported. It could remain on the books as long as it was harmonized with the 2022 law that Governor Doug Ducey signed into law.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just like your opinion, man.
What the hell does that mean? Harmonized? You have a law on the books that outlaws it. Then you pass another law that says 15 weeks. These two things, I believe the terminology. I believe. I'm not. Is it incongruous? Is that the word I'm looking for? Incongruous? Lacking in harmony. Incompatible. That's right. I got it right. So here's 2022 passing legislation, and here comes this law from 1864. Sneaking its way up. Here I come. Oh, you think you're going to get your little 15-week abortion bill passed? You think I'm going to let that happen? Oh, no, 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 no. Check this out. So now, Arizona has nothing. They have no ability to have an abortion. You can argue that, when the Supreme Court ruled on Roe v. Wade, it rendered moot the other legislation on behalf of the states. So now what do they do? Well, the answer is they got to go to their, whatever they have, a General Assembly, whatever it is, and be like, hey, we got to do this. We got to get this fixed. We have to change the law. So who does this help? The answer, it clearly helps the political left. It absolutely helps the Democrats because now it's an unavoidable. There will be some people who are like, oh, can't have an abortion in Arizona. Huh. 1864. Nice. Nice, nice, nice. All right. And we're going to go have lunch. And they're going to try and like totally forget about it. Oh, the pro-life people? They're just going to walk down the street?
Well, it's a sunny day. I feel brand new. There's about a million.
They are not going to pay any attention at all. But this won't last. Right now, the pressure on legislators... You get some legislation going, you get this done. Holy, is that amazing? That is unbelievable. As a 4-2 ruling, the court's majority concluded that the 15-week ban quote, does not create a right to or otherwise provide independent statutory authority for an abortion that repeals or restricts the Civil War era ban, quote, but rather is predicated entirely on the existence of a federal constitutional to an abortion since disclaimed. Disclaimed, of course, by the Dobbs decision that overturned Roe. Absent the federal constitution abortion right, and because the 2022 law does not independently authorize abortion, there is no provision in federal or state law that prohibits the 1864 ban, and therefore the 1864 ban is now enforceable. That's absolutely unbelievable. You watch how fast Arizona moves on this. Democrats will be tripping over themselves to be the first person to file legislation. The pro-abortion groups, every single one of them is on a plane right now to Arizona, on a phone right now with someone in Arizona. Hoo-hee. That is unbelievable. That is an unbelievable story. This all just broke. Happy to share it with you. I'm Tony Katz. This is Tony Katz Today. There is a documentary that's coming out. Legal Insurrection has the story, legalinsurrection.com. Me, I'm Tony Katz, Tony Katz Today. That the real villain in the story of 15 days to slow the spread and the lockdowns of America wasn't so much Dr. Fauci. It was Deborah Birx. You know, the woman with the scarves. And you always thought that she seemed competent up there. I said those words. The documentary is entitled, It Wasn't Fauci, How the Deep State Really Played Trump. And it discusses Birx's, she's got a long history on AIDS relief, the PEPFAR program, the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief. It talks about how she joined the White House coronavirus panel in March of 2020. And there had been, through her work at these other agencies, real issues with her leadership style, which was described as autocratic and dictatorial. This, according to auditors of something called the Office of the Global Aid Coordinator, which she ran that office. She supposedly, ran an office that she didn't want to discuss things. Just do what I tell you and that's it. So it seems that she was the one who was very focused on the idea of this disease is a killer. Make sure you focus on the kids. And no matter what, zero cases at any cost. But she was applying possibly a theory regarding a bloodborne pathogen like AIDS, and not a airborne respiratory virus like COVID. So the question is, was she really the enemy? And it discusses how Dr. Scott Atlas, who if you've never heard talk, really interesting because he was one of the people saying, "Would everybody calm down?" And he was right. He was trying to speak with Trump, and she would try and get in the way. It's unbelievable, the allegations here. And the other part of it is she got introduced to being a part of this committee, the White House coronavirus panel, through a connection with former Vice President Mike Pence. I haven't seen it yet, but I commend you to read the story over there at Legal Insurrection. Worth the read. Then there is the NAIA, the National Association of Intercollegiate Athletics, which has now unanimously approved a ban on transgender athletes in women's sports, which is wonderful. That you would need one is nutty, but it's wonderful that this has happened. For us, we believed our first responsibility was to create fairness and competition in the NAIA. We also think it aligns with the reasons Title IX was created. You're allowed to have separate but equal opportunities for women to compete. While separate but equal certainly is going to get under a lot of people's skin. Men are not women and women are not men, and women compete against other women, and that's the way it goes. And I have always questioned, as many of you have, why would anybody be in favor of men competing in women's sports? Why would you favor men lying and saying they're women when, of course, they are not? Why would you favor telling women, sorry, you don't get a spot on the team, you can't do this, you can't do that, there's no place for you, sit down? That is a very, very odd thing to do. It's a disgusting and despicable thing to do. Just so we're all clear. It is disgusting and despicable to say to women that you are not welcome, which is exactly what these people who support men claiming to be women and playing in sports, that's what they're telling women, that you don't count. What is super weird is that this comes so often from women. This gets into the whole conversation of women going after women, which happens a lot. You know, women are supposed to lift other women up. No, women go after women all the time. So, Riley Gaines has come to prominence because she's fighting against what's happening in sports. People like Leah Thomas, who is a man, will always be a man, will die a man. I don't care if he calls himself Leah. Leah Thomas is a man. That's the swimmer that Riley Gaines had to swim against and had to change with. And it's just wrong. It's all it is. It's wrong. The people who push this transgenderism, social contagion, should be ashamed of themselves. And the people who push it on children are abusers and should be dealt with accordingly. But Riley Gaines has been very effective in having this conversation. Here comes the tweets, the post. Repeat after us, weaponizing womanhood against other women is white supremacist patriarchy at work. Making people believe there isn't enough space for trans women in sports is white supremacist patriarchy at work. That's a post that was put out there. And you say to me, Tony, it's social media nonsense. Who cares? The post comes from the National Organization of Women. That's who the post comes from. Women attacking other women. Now I know what you're saying, Tony. If two women are in a fight, don't you dare interrupt. Don't you dare interrupt. Just get me a beer and a chair. I want to watch the whole thing. Let them fight slow. Is anybody's clothes going to be ripped off? My God, where's the music? We need theme music for this fight, damn it. I get it. You got a whole thing going on. Yeah, right? You got a whole bunch of fantasy happening right there. I get what's going on, and you know what? You might need to just calm down a little. I said calm down. Oh, this is more like Cinemax before 10 p.m., right? This is women attacking other women. It's stunning to watch. I don't know why you're blaming the patriarchy. Except, of course, because you're a progressive first National Organization for Women. Riley Gaines is right. You should be on her side. Men who claim they're women are not women. And for you to cheapen yourself for that, now that's the patriarchy at work, right? Huh. It's fascinating to watch. Women who want to tear down other women. I say Riley Gaines, keep on fighting. A National Organization for Women, maybe your day is done. This is Tony Katz today. The cult of the eclipse is ever growing. It's wrong to say that about the eclipse, because if you were in the path of totality, if you were able to see it, and I was, it was absolutely unbelievable. Tony Katz today, 833-468-8669, 833-GOT-TONY. That is where you find me. Feel free to call in. Happy to talk to you anytime. I'm telling you, it was worth the price of admission. And there was no price. You just went outside and put on the weirdo glasses. And then I've got this guy. I found this on Facebook, because I'm always on Facebook Marketplace. I'm always looking at Facebook Marketplace. I look at watches. I look at furniture, because I'm building a new studio and I need some things for it. And I'm looking for chairs. I look at cars. I look at all sorts of things. And there is a guy on Facebook who is selling his vintage 2024 eclipse glasses. They're vintage. Vintage 2024. Here's another guy selling them for $500. The first guy was only selling it for $100. This guy is selling it for $500. People are funny. People are very, very funny that they're doing this. I didn't realize this would become a thing. But I love it. The eclipse was incredible, because the whole idea of the eclipse and you've got the corona around it, right? So the moon's there, you can see the sun behind it, what is known as the corona. You've seen it in movies and everything else, drawings of it. It really is something to see. It's something to behold. It is surreal to see that in real time. And then the moon's moving, of course, and it's moving this whole time. It's 4 minutes of this darkness, and the temperature goes down. No one talked about the temperature going down. For the people who don't understand that if the sun goes out, it's all over. It's really all over. And so the temperature goes down when this happens, which is fascinating, because you're not only seeing it, you're feeling it. It's really this weird grouping of emotions. And sensations. So it then covers the sun, and you're like, that's crazy. And you realize exactly how bright the sun is. Never mind, you can't look into it anyway. That the moon can be covering 90%+ of it, and it's still bright out. But then the moon's right in front. You're like, oh, that's nutty. But what they don't prepare you for is that out in the horizon, you can see the light. You realize that that's coming towards you. And if you watch the time-lapse videos that are all over social media, it sweeps. And that's the part that's amazing. You know that it's coming. Therefore, the moon is moving, and the sun is moving, and the earth is moving. It's amazing stuff. It really is. But those 4 minutes were incredible. And then the moon is moving, and the sun starts to show itself again. And there are a couple of seconds there, because you're looking at the corona. Some people may have been wearing their glasses. No. You take the glasses off at that moment. I did. I wanted to see it with my own eyes. You could sit there and watch it. And then the moon is moving. The sun's moving, of course. And the sun starts to appear again. And there's a few seconds there where it's just getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And then you can't see anymore, but this moment where you're kind of watching the dawn of time. It's spectacular, spectacular feeling. One of the very few things where it totally lived up to the hype in every single way. It was a fantastic, fantastic thing to witness. And I'm thrilled that I did. Thrilled that I did. And of course, you know, you had the regular crowd of absolute fools saying absolute foolish things like Representative Sheila Jackson Lee.
Provide unique light and energy so that you have the energy of the moon at night. And sometimes you've heard the word full moon. And sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that?
Can we just stop? Oh my gosh. And we're going to trust these people with the education system. Between Representative Sheila Jackson Lee and Sonny Hostin over there at The View, anybody who trusts public education at all is out of their heads. These people are the poster children for homeschooling. Holy cow. The moon is gases. But remember, these are the people in charge. And these are the people who believe that they know better than you. And these are the people who want to tell you how to live. Michael Walsh over at thepipeline.org. Michael is a sensation. He is a sensational dude. You're going to be hearing a lot from him. I'm working on a series here for the show that I want to bring to you. Because he writes a lot about Frankfurt School and a lot about what's going on with wokeism and where this comes from and understanding, you know, its origins. But he wrote this piece about the cult of environmentalism, Total Eclipse of the Brain, it's called, over at a site that he's an editor, The Pipeline, the-pipeline.org. And he references a piece that's at Politico. Scientists launch a stream of microscopic salt particles into the sky. This from the deck of a decommissioned aircraft carrier. Why? They're trying to limit global warming by increasing cloud cover to reflect more sunlight away from the Earth. These people are cultists and they are insane. The sun is good. Did I just mention that the temperature went down when the moon crossed the sun for 4 minutes? The sun is good. The sun is important to our existence, and vitamin D is awesome. And here comes the cult of environmental insanity that thinks, you know what's a good idea? You know what would stop that global warming? Shooting salt into the sky. As somebody who lives on this earth, stop that crap. And I think that we should get very, very rough with you if you believe that you have some right to screw with my ability to get a tan. Screw you, the horse you rode in on, and that worthless mother of yours. Now, sometimes I really I feel bad about saying things about people's mothers because maybe their mother finds them just as repulsive as we do. Maybe that's the case. I have to assume, one has to assume they find them equally as repulsive. So let's not blame the parents. The Coastal Atmospheric Aerosol Research and Engagement, or CARE project, led by researchers at the University of Washington, already you want to throw up, kept a lid on project details. That was out of concern, quote, that critics would try to stop them, reported the New York Times. They got an exclusive access to the firing of the spray cannons. We should be clear about something. Saying we're going to fix climate change, which you don't have me buying into, by literally changing the climate is a super bad idea. Super bad idea. Do you know what kind of freak you have to be to think this is okay? And to think, well, it's so important, we'll just do this for everybody and they'll thank us. Oh, go to hell, you weirdo freak leftist losers. You're so dangerous, you should be locked up. You're out of your minds. But they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep doing this thing. And they're going to be allowed to do this thing in Alameda, California. You understand we're talking about a cult, right? These are cultists engaged in cult-like activity. How many in generations gone by saw an eclipse and thought that it was the end of the world, that it was God or the gods speaking to them? Well, once you see that thing, maybe you could understand it. From then, we're going to launch salt into the sky to keep the sun from killing us, so we won't have the sun, so we'll die anyway. If you want to have a death wish, first, I would ask you to seek some serious psychiatric help. Because you need it. You need it desperately. Some people want to talk about green and Green New Deal people and the green movement as religion. No, you have to think of it as cult. You can't give it any level of credibility like you would give religion. Well, religion's a cult, Tony. Okay, you can go have that conversation. I'm not having it. But if you think that you should be able to determine my weather, I think we have to fight. If you want to drink Kool-Aid, I don't think you should, but I can't stop you. If you think you should be able to force feed Kool-Aid to others, I think we should fight. Do you get that, you green psychopaths? I want it understood that it's not about disagreement. You are terrible people. Not because you believe something, although I think you're wrong in how we address the science and how we engage data. Not because you want to harm yourself, which I think is wrong because I wouldn't want you to want to harm yourself. I don't think people should engage in self-harm. But because you want to make determinations for others and change their lives, I think we should fight you in the streets. Blocking out the sun is kind of harmful to my kids, and I don't let people harm my kids. I go to town on people who try to harm my kids. And you say to me, Tony, this has become a very quasi-violent conversation. And I say to you, yeah, that happened when they tried to block out the sun. Holy cow. Can you believe we're having this conversation? Can you believe this is happening? Do you know how sick, twisted, diseased these people are, and that they're doing it, that they're actually engaged in it, and they somehow think that they're decent? They think they're decent and they are good. And this isn't the first time it happens. There was a Harvard experiment, of course it was Harvard, that wanted to inject reflective aerosols into the stratosphere near Sweden, but it was canceled because they got opposition from indigenous groups. I'm sorry, I have to be native to the United States to be able to look at California and say, you're all schmucks. No, I don't. I can be from anywhere. I don't need to be indigenous. I don't have to be, connected to a tribe somehow. I don't have to have ever slept in a yurt or done peyote. I never had to go on a mission to find my spirit animal. I just know it's a terrible idea. Then there was a group called Make Sunsets. They launched balloons with sulfate particles into the upper atmosphere from Mexico. And that got the country to ban solar engineering. All of a sudden, we're taking cues from Mexico on how to be normal. These leftists have no end to their depravity, and they are depraved. If you think being pro-life is an attack on women, what the bloody hell is trying to block out the sun? Go on, answer. I'm talking to you, liberal white women. You know how I feel about liberal white women. The answer is not good. Not good. if taking away your right to an abortion at the moment of birth is somehow an attack on women, what exactly is trying to block out the sun? The green movement is dangerous, and as you see now, and multiple attempts, the green movement is violent. And my argument is that in order to handle these things, you heard me talk about this a little bit last week before I was out of town. The only response I believe that can come that has any value is force. Now, force actually takes different shapes. Sometimes it's just voice. Sometimes it is standing up and saying, you're out of your head. The answer is no. That's ridiculous. We're not doing that. I favor doing this other thing instead because it's not always a negative. Sometimes it's a better idea that we're pushing out. Like, for example, I think the better idea between having the sun and not having the sun is having the sun. So therefore, I favor not putting salt into the skies and not screwing with the actual makeup of the atmosphere. Because I favor getting a tan, vitamin D, and, you know, survival. You understand the progressives are not, when they move this green stuff and they get this green insanity, this cult going, they're not about actually progressing society. I mean, that's obvious by now, right? I thought so. The eclipse was wonderful. Hope to live to see the next one. I'm Tony Katz. So it's not a shortage of pilots, it's a shortage of planes. Oh, this is interesting. Tony Katz today. Spirit Airlines is going to furlough 260 pilots. United Airlines has asked pilots to take time off due to shortages of new Boeing planes, because Boeing is having plenty of problems as it is. They're delaying new planes at Spirit from 2025 to 2026. So they don't have enough planes to fly, so they're going to lower the amount of flights, so they don't need as many pilots, which is going to be a problem because we already have an issue with not having enough pilots. Oh, this is something. The story I have is really pushing it on Boeing. I don't know if this is all necessarily Boeing, but this is going to be a thing, and that means that less flights, prices are going to go up. Fantastic. No. Everything for 2024 is looking great. Find everything at TonyKatz.com tomorrow, everyone. Take care.